Well, for over a month now, we've been going through a series where we're looking at different aspects of our church, seeking to establish the why to the what. Why do we govern ourselves a certain way? Why do we operate in certain ways? Why do we do certain things? Why don't we do other things? This morning, we're going to look at another layer of leadership within the church. Particularly, we're going to look at deacons. This is in preparation as we as a church continue to lay the foundation for deacons being established. And many of you know we have been very slow in doing that, but there's multiple reasons that we have been slow. But one of those reasons is the need for clarity around the topic and understanding of deacons. I know that many of us in this room have very different experiences with church and church leadership. We have experiences from different denominations. We have experiences from different churches that have governed themselves and expressed leadership differently from one church to another. And especially as a Southern Baptist church, we need to bring a lot of clarity to the concept of deacons. And so just want to get this out early with regards to our denomination of people, many of us who have been within that denomination for many of years. There is a ton of misunderstanding surrounding deacons for us. Because again, our denomination and our experiences within that denomination. If someone were to say to you that they're a deacon in a church, you probably need to ask a few questions to find out what, if anything, that that person actually does in a church. Because it varies so much from church to church to denomination to denomination. A lot of Baptist churches, which many of us have our experience and background in, have eliminated the concept of elders and utilized deacons in this kind of hybrid role of elder, pastor, deacon leadership. They've kind of lumped the roles of elders and deacons into one office and then called them deacons, which is not what we necessarily see in the scriptures. But because of that, it's led to a lot of confusion because, like I said, many of us grew up in those churches and grew up with those experiences and have had the majority of our church experiences defined by that type of leadership model and structure, this kind of hybrid leadership structure of deacons. And so we're going to look at the scriptures and take an honest examination of the role of deacons within the church. And so our roadmap for this morning regarding deacons is going to have three parts. First, who are they? Who are deacons? Secondly, what do they do? I mean, really nothing, but, you know. But what do they do? And then third, what do they point to? So who are they? What do they do? And what do they point to? First, number one, what do deacons, or who are deacons? Who are they? 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 8 through 13. Deacons, likewise, should be worthy of respect, not hypocritical, not drinking a lot of wine, not greedy for money, holding the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. They must also be tested first. If they prove blameless, then they can serve as deacons. Wives, likewise, should be worthy of respect, not slanderers, self-controlled, faithful in everything. Deacons are to be the husbands of one wife, managing their children and their own households competently. For those who have served well as deacons acquire a good standing for themselves and great boldness in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. As we read through this passage and we see the text here, what we have, similar to what we saw when we talked about elders a couple weeks ago, is a list of qualifications that really, to be honest, are not that outstanding. And by that I mean, these are expectations that God has called to be present in all Christians, and that's communicated elsewhere throughout the scriptures. every single one of us should aspire to these qualifications. We should aspire to have these characteristics mark our lives. No matter who you are, whether you serve in an official leadership role in the church or not, you ought to reflect the glory and the character of Christ. And as we see here, there's some clear expectations of people who are to serve in an official role of deacon, holding the office of deacon. The first expectation that we see is that a deacon is someone who is respected. They live their life in such a way that warrants respect from those around them. They're not extreme hypocrites, right? Hear me. Everyone, Christian or non-Christian, is a hypocrite. But we want to limit that as much as possible as those who profess faith. Deacons are those who have modeled a pattern of lifestyle that has limited the hypocrisy within their lives. And it also says they're to be self-controlled, especially with regards to substance and really just with their whole entire life. So just like we saw when we covered elders in this sermon series, they can't be addicted to anything. Not just to alcohol, but anything that would keep them from displaying the glory of Christ. So they can't be addicted to their phones, addicted to technology, addicted to money, addicted to material possessions, addicted to heroin especially. Nothing. It's a no-go. And when the text says, not addicted to wine nor greedy for money, it's communicating this principle of self-control within a wide category of their entire life. Meaning that their entire lifestyle is marked by self-control and is free from addiction, and they have the ability to control their usage and spending of anything and everything. In other words, they are not owned by anything. They're not greedy for money or for the things that they think money will bring them. It points to someone who is defined by generosity. They're people whose primary pursuit is not for their own personal welfare, rather for the welfare of others. Again, these are all things that every single one of us ought to be pursuing, regardless of any title or position that we may or may not hold within the church. Now, the second half of this passage here in 1 Timothy 3 really gets at the heart of a deacon's home. Deacons are to manage their household well. There's a theme in the scriptures that tell us that the home is the proving ground for ministry. The home is the training ground for church leaders. If you cannot lead and serve faithfully and well at home, how can you do that within a bigger family, the church? In the home, you all have the responsibility to care for your spouse, to care for your kids, to serve them, to give them attention, love, and ultimately to give them yourself. And if someone is not willing to serve and sacrifice for their spouse, if they're not willing to lay down their personal preferences in order to love and sacrifice their kids, then they're not going to do it for you or anyone else in the church, and they won't do it for the church as an institution. A deacon must be someone who is willing to serve and sacrifice in the home, because ultimately the call of a deacon in the church is one of service and sacrifice. What we ultimately see here in these qualifications of a deacon is someone who takes their faith seriously and lives according to the biblical principles and standards in which the scriptures have set forth. In other words, your lifestyle is to be an attraction for people. The way in which you live your life ought to call and beckon and draw others, one, hopefully into the faith, and those who are your brothers and sisters in the faith, draw them deeper into intimacy with Christ. And I know as I say that, some of you might get kind of hung up on that and think, hey, aren't we all equal, Christian and not? We're all just homeless beggars chasing after bread. There's no difference between us. I understand that thinking. Yes, we are a grace-oriented church. No, we are not works-based in our theology, but there is a biblical reality to life change towards heart transformation and being different morally than this world is. We are different. We are not the same beggar chasing after the bread because we have been given a new life, a new heart. The heart of stone has been taken out. A heart of flesh has been placed in. We are no longer dead in our sin. We have been raised to new life in Christ, and we are to offer an alternative to the garbage that this world is trying to call everyone else to. And deacons are just Christians who do that imperfectly but consistently. So that's who they are. Number two, what do? Turn to Acts chapter 6. We'll read 1 through 7. In those days, as the disciples were increasing in number, there arose a complaint by the Hellenistic Jews against the Hebraic Jews that their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution. The 12 summoned the whole company of the disciples and said, "It would not be right for us to give up preaching the word of God to wait on tables. Brothers and sisters, select from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Spirit and wisdom, whom we can appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." This proposal pleased the whole company. So they chose Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a convert from Antioch. They had them stand before the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. So the word of God spread, the disciples in Jerusalem increased greatly in number, and a large group of priests became obedient to the faith. As we read that passage in our English translations, we don't see the word deacon anywhere. However, the word deacon is actually found 3 times within this passage. That is why many Bible scholars identify this passage as the origin of the concept and office of deacon. So the word deacon is derived from the Greek word diakonos, which literally translates to servant. And so the office and role of a deacon is really one of just practical service. That's inherent in the namesake of deacon, as deacon is the Greek word for servant. And as we see in this passage, there are 3 ways in which deacons serve the church. First, deacons meet needs according to the word. That is the most specific usage that we see of the title, role, responsibility of deacon throughout the New Testament. When they serve, they are meeting specific, certain physical needs. That's what we see going on here in Acts chapter 6. The Jewish system had set up for themselves a structure so that widows were taken care of and widows were supplied for with regards to food and basic needs. The problem was, in Jerusalem, a lot of the Greek widows were being overlooked in comparison to the Hebrew widows within the church. And so there was starting to become some disappointment and dissension within the early church. This was made known to the pastors of the day, so to speak, and they appointed 7 individuals to take on this ministry within the church. There is a need presented and identified by the leadership of the church, and deacons are raised up to meet that need. So that tells us that deacons arise from and for specific circumstances. There is a specific need, there's a specific issue that came up here, and the deacon ministry derived from that is a needs-driven ministry. So you don't just have them to have them. You don't just have them with no role and no purpose. There's no such thing as an inactive deacon. There's no such thing as an inactive servant. They need to have a specific role, a specific job, a specific responsibility within a church. And so what that means is deacons will look different in different time periods. Deacons will look different church to church. Deacons will look different denomination to denomination. Deacons will look different according to the different needs that arise, even within one local church. So even within our church, deacons might look different season to season as the church and its needs change. There are many people who do a variety of different things that fulfill this role to help meet needs and to help in meeting needs in the local church according to the word. And so the first way deacons serve the church is by meeting needs according to the word, but they also support the ministry of the word. So the apostles understood the need for widows in the church to be cared for. That is an important need. It's a vital ministry. It is the scriptures have commanded the church to make sure we care for our widows and orphans. And so we take that responsibility seriously. But the apostles understood that their primary responsibility was teaching the Bible and giving themselves to the ministry of prayer and providing overall leadership within the church. That's the role of elders and pastors in a church. However, as we see in this passage, certain ministry tasks were beginning to take time and attention away from the pastors of the church with regards to their primary ministry role. Deacons are the answer to this problem. They serve the elders of the church so that they can lead the church. And in doing this, though their roles are different, they are pulling in the same direction. So when we're talking about deacons in Acts 6 and the role that they play, understand that they're not like a second house in the legislature where deacons and pastors are battling out back and forth over who's in control and who has the power. You don't have a picture of deacons here in the New Testament whose job is to hold the staff and the pastor accountable. Sadly, that's oftentimes the picture that we see in local churches. But it's just not biblical. You have elders who are responsible for the overall leadership of the church, and you've got deacons serving so that the elders can be freed up to do what's most important when it comes to their responsibilities, the ministry of prayer, the ministry of the word, and the ministry of leadership. It's working in partnership. It's together. Deacons serving the elders so that they can lead. But not only do they serve the elders to free them up, this second way in which the deacons serve kind of has another layer to it. Deacons serve so that other members of the church can engage in ministry within the church as well. They facilitate other members serving in the church. So again, in Acts chapter 6, by this time it tells us there are thousands upon thousands of people in the church in Jerusalem. And in the Jerusalem church, you've got these widows that are being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. And so these newly appointed deacons are giving themselves to this particular task, but they are not only the only ones who are serving in this task. These guys were not the only ones passing out the food and distributing the funds. They were orchestrating, administrating, and structuring so that others were also participating and doing so as well. They were facilitating this ministry, helping make it happen and run effectively and efficiently, allowing the whole church family to participate and serve one another. They are freeing members up to serve. Deacons support the ministry of the word and ultimately the ministry of the church. And then the third way that deacons serve the church is that they bring unity to the church. In Acts 6, the Hellenists are upset that a lot of their widows are not getting food and supplies. From this issue, some disunity arises within the church, particularly along cultural and ethnic lines between the Greeks and the Hebraic Jews. So now there's infighting. Now you've got one group of people going after another group of people, which is angering them, and now they're going back at the other group of people. And everyone is becoming disappointed with each other and upset with each other. right? It's church. But when these deacons go out and engage in their ministry, they meet these needs according to the word. They don't just give food and supplies. But by doing this, they're also bringing and building unity within the church. Ultimately, deacons do what the namesake says. They serve, and they serve in needed, practical, mundane, everyday ways. They do not have any excess authority that many of kind of the Baptist churches that we've experienced has elevated them to. Elders are the authoritative office within the church, not the deacons. Elders are pastors who are servant leaders. Deacons are leading servants within the church. And so the office of elder is a shepherding role. Elders have spiritual authority and oversight over the entirety of the church. Their primary responsibility is shepherding and caring for the entirety of the members of the church through the ministry of teaching the word and praying. And the office of deacon is one of practical service. Two very different, distinct offices that we find in the Bible. Number three, what do they point to? What do deacons point to? Deacons serve and sacrifice for the church, which ultimately points to the greater deacon, the deacon of deacons in Jesus. In Mark chapter 10, Jesus is settling a dispute amongst the disciples on the subject of greatness, and he says this: "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those in high positions act as tyrants over them. But it is not so among you. On the contrary, whoever wants to become great among you will be your servant, and whoever wants to be first among you will be a slave to all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and give his life as a ransom for many." In this passage that we just read, the word for serve is the word deacon. It says Jesus came not to be served, but to be a deacon, to serve. And he demonstrated that throughout his entire earthly life. Many of you have read the Gospels and are familiar with them. And if you just kind of do a high-level overview of reading through the Gospels, you will realize very quickly that the disciples are really dumb. Just like you and me, okay? And because they are really dumb, another argument would break out later on the same subject of who is the greatest disciple among us. But this time, it would happen during the Last Supper. And in response, Jesus doesn't just answer them with words like he did in Mark chapter 10 previously when they were arguing about who the greatest was. Rather, he shows them with his actions the answer. Jesus washes the feet of the disciples despite his impending death that was to happen within 24 hours. Right? Imagine that moment. Jesus was about to have the full wrath of God poured out on him. Imagine the tremendous weight that he felt during the Last Supper, where not only he knew what was going to happen very shortly with regards to the physical abuse and torture that he was about to endure, but more so the emotional and spiritual pain that he was about to endure, where for the first time since eternity past, Jesus was about to experience broken relationship with God the Father, where all he had ever known since eternity past was perfect union with God the Father, in ways in which we could never relate or understand. And him living within the last 24 hours knowing that that was about to be stripped and ripped and voluntarily given away. The agony. And yet, he chose to serve. When we are hurting, with the emotional weight of life stacked on our backs, do we look around and notice people's feet needing to be washed? Do we look for ways to serve one another? I think if we're honest, all of us would say in those moments we are usually absorbed in our own issues and our own hardships, and we actually want other people to take notice of us. But a real servant doesn't say, well, when I get my stuff together, I'll serve, or when I get over these issues, or when I get my calendar and schedule under control, then I'll serve. Jesus served despite the emotional toll that he was carrying. And Jesus served despite the unworthiness of the people in which he served. Jesus knew who was among him at that Last Supper. He knew and he predicted Peter would deny him 3 times. He knew Judas had already made the deal to betray him. And yet, Jesus knowingly washed the dirt off of the feet that was accumulated from the errand that just arranged for his impending torture and death. Ultimately, Jesus served the church in the greatest way by sacrificing his life and giving himself for the church on the cross. Jesus lowered himself. He became a servant and humbled himself to the point of obedient death on the cross. And Jesus on the cross died in the place of sinners, sinners like you and me. And so what that means is that if you are in Christ, our sin gets transferred to him, and all of his righteousness and holiness gets counted for us. We gain a new life. And then as you move through this new life, if you have repented of your sin, you've placed faith and trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that means you have been given a new heart, a new life. And as you live that new life, and as you walk daily in repenting of sin, as you walk with Jesus, over time, you become more like Jesus and you begin to exhibit these characteristics that we've been talking about this morning. A deacon is someone who models this, though imperfectly, somewhat consistently. And they have answered the call to lay their life down and serve, just like God has called every single one of us to do. To give themselves to the church, for the church, in service to the people within the church, all for the glory of God. Let's pray.